So today's reading is going to come from the first epistle of John, chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10 this morning. John's epistle 1, chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Just give you a few seconds to find that. So, reading from verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love amongst us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As we've been going through John's epistle, we have repeatedly covered such themes as God's love for us, loving the brethren, and of course, loving God Himself. We have looked at the dynamics and the importance of doing these things as we seek to grow and mature in our Christian life, and have covered these matters extensively during our time in John's epistle. I would like to look at some other dimensions from our passage today rather than cover the same ground. Now, this isn't to diminish or relegate the importance of such matters as to love and to abide in Christ in the least, but to look at some important doctrine and guidance that John gives in his first few verses. Now, the first verses of chapter 4 are very important both spiritually and doctrinally. Spiritually, because we need to discern so that we are not deceived and become sidetracked by the enemy. Jesus repeatedly in the gospel accounts warned against deception, which would become more rampant before he returns. But also doctrinally, because a person's perception of Christ and what he or she adheres to will define if their view is scriptural and true, or that they are in error, or even they have some form of another Christ which isn't biblical. In verse 1 it says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test them whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." How do we test the spirits? Whether something is true or false, how can we be sure? Well, there was a wonderful Kiwi evangelist whose name escapes me. I think his first name was Barry. He's gone to be with the Lord now, so forgive me for that. Not remembering. But he said something quite profound. He said, "If the problem's spiritual, the answer must be spiritual." Now, does the Lord leave us to work out these spiritual conundrums with our own intelligence or intellect? Well, no, he doesn't. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us God's solution. If we look at chapter 12, verse 4 through to 11, it lists the following spiritual gifts. So reading from verse 4, it says, that's Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, friends, this would suggest to me that the gift of discernment, which we all need in the church, is essential to being able to determine what is and isn't of the Lord. It is not a gift that is attained within ourselves. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is a gift, the Holy Spirit, that he wants to impart to his bride as deception and satanic influence takes place in the world, but also seeks to get into the church. Because how are we going to differentiate between the Spirit and the spirits with just human insight and wisdom alone? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 states this, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then, of course, it goes on to mention the armour, which we all know about, and the weapons of warfare that we are to take up in our daily battle as we seek to live Christian lives. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, I know there has always been a big debate in the church regarding the gifts of the Spirit and are they relevant for today. But I do believe that the Lord wants to empower his church because we certainly need it in these times. And I think that as Christians, the Lord wants us to use every available tool and weapon at our disposal. Now, I'm aware that there are two polar opposites here, and I believe both of these are not scriptural. You have the extremity of the hyper-charismatic Pentecostal movement, where I myself have witnessed in some excesses the charismania, the crazy stuff that we've all seen. And we all, or some of us might be aware of some of the people that propagate these sorts of ministries which aren't biblical. And on the other hand, we have the cessationist camp. Now, these are people that believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit died out with the apostles 2,000 odd years ago, and the Holy Spirit doesn't empower the church today with any spiritual gifts, that they no longer operate. I personally do not believe that either of these views are biblical. And I know that there are many, many dear brothers and sisters who would sit in one of these two camps. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians chapters 12, 13 and 14 highlights the importance and the correct way these gifts should operate. He explains that they should be used in an orderly way. The gifts are given for the edification of the church and never to be used to draw attention to ourselves. But most importantly, I would say, we should always seek the giver first, God, and not the gift. And as well as wanting to impart the gifts of the Holy Spirit to us, the Lord wants us, in a sense, to be like an orchard, cultivating the fruits of the Spirit to work those things out in our life. But I do believe that we should seek the gifts in a world that is becoming even more spiritually oppressive. Now, in verses 2 and 3, it says the following. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh and is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world. First of all, I want to tell you who the real Christ isn't. It isn't the one that the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses believe in. It isn't the Jesus, better known as Isa or Isa, mentioned in the Quran. It isn't some esoteric Christ or New Age mystic type of Messiah, nor is he a first century revolutionary in the backwaters of Judah. In fact, he isn't any of these or many other types of Christ that people seem to believe in today. No, he is fully God and fully man. God amongst us in a human body, the visible image of the invisible God. Yeshua, Jesus says in John 14, verse 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. John 10, verse 30 declares, I and the Father are one. Friends, it says in Galatians 1, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. There are stacks of people across the world who are trusting in a false Christ or seeking an alternative to the Messiah of Scripture. And John says in verse 3 that this is the spirit of Antichrist. Not the Antichrist in person that is going to come before the return of Jesus, but his spirit, which from the beginning of time has sought to thwart God's redemptive plan for the world and to usurp and replace Christ as the sole object of our praise and our devotion. If they are not following the Jesus of Scripture, they will not follow him at all. We believe in the Saviour concealed in the old, revealed in the new, and everything written by the prophets, written in the Gospels, and taught by the apostles attest to him. Now, praise God, I believe I'm preaching to the converted here, and all of us, I would imagine, have a proper biblical understanding of the true Christ. Now, the Lord understands that we struggle with things like the complexity of the Trinity and eternity, and things like the divinity of Christ. We cannot get our finite minds around such matters. In fact, even if you had academics standing here this morning from Oxford or Cambridge preaching to you, they couldn't comprehend it any more than any of us, even with their brilliant minds. The Lord calls us to trust and be faithful to his message. All that seems to be mysterious to us now will be revealed to us during the millennium or in eternity. The Lord there himself will teach us about all these matters. And then the penny will drop. Let's face it, we're going to have all the time in the world, or, as it were, to sit with the Messiah, to sit with Jesus, and learn all those things we don't understand about him now. Amen? Amen? You see, it's because we have come to know Christ, as it says in verse 4, that we have overcome them. The false spirits, the false doctrines perpetrated by false teachers and all the false religious systems. And because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, if we continue to adhere to Scripture and abide in Christ, we can know that daily assurance and power to overcome and be sustained in all the things, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Christ has conquered all. Every entity in the spiritual world and everything that we encounter in this physical life, in this physical world. And beloved, to put it into common speak, he's always going to have our back. He's in our corner. Verse 5 says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world and the world hears them. Don't be surprised at all if the gospel that we hold to falls on deaf ears. Gordon was just saying just now, wasn't he, about they're trying to marginalise Christians and the free speech that we have. And we're going to find that more and more, friends. Most people, sadly, are not interested in coming to the Lord, the majority. Though we continue to work and to pray and to share with those who may show interest. Many, as Jesus said, will be deceived. They're going to continue to serve a fake Christ or seek a Messiah that will lead them further and further away from the truth. And the world will continue to hear them because it tells them what they want to hear, or it gives them some sort of short-term dividend, a message just for their itching ears. And this suits Satan. If he can stop people knowing the real Saviour, then he's accomplished his goal. It doesn't matter what Messiah or figure you choose, as long as it's not the real one, because anything will do for Satan as long as he stops you coming to know Jesus. The world isn't going to hear us. It will do less and less. The nearer his coming, the more we're going to be hated, let's face it. Yet, as it says in Corinthians 1, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Friends, let's redeem the time we have. We know we aren't going to win any popularity contest if we bear his name. But remember, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. So, in closing, let's remember that we are, in fact, in a spiritual battle. We are, in fact, if we look at it, part spiritual beings, aren't we? If we've got any doubt, look at the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Look at Jesus' ministry during his time on earth and what the apostles taught about it in the epistles and the books of Acts. God, through his divine grace, will impart those gifts to his children, those graces, which is the real word in the Greek, for his purpose and for his edification. Not to make a show of them and bring dishonour to his name and wear them as some medal of divine favour or distinction, but to be humbly open to him when he sees the need to empower the body for the work that he has in store for us. He gives those gifts to empower us in our ministry, whatever that may be. But just as important, he's looking for character and to see growth and maturity in our lives. And to praise God this morning, that is that we are in Christ, that we are born of him, because as it says in verse 6, that we know this by the spirit of truth and error. Because we know him, we're not in error this morning. We're here because he's revealed himself to us. The backslidden apostate church doesn't know him. The world doesn't know him, but we do. And any believer who truly puts his or her trust in Christ is the most blessed. And one day, when we're with him, we're going to see the full payback for that. John 16, verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. If you know the Lord today, then that's been fulfilled in your life, because if you come to know him, that's a fulfilled prophecy. And there's a lot more to come. That's just a down payment. So let me encourage you today, in spite of all that's going on in our lives, in the greater world, all the evil, keep walking in him. Keep getting into his word. That's important, as we've seen this morning. Be living in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of his love. God bless you all. Let me just finish with a time of prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you, Lord, that you've called each and every one of us to you, Lord. We know through that working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we are your children, your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we need to keep in your word every day. We need to feed on that, Lord. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our lives, to bring glory to you, to share that faith, to keep praying, to love one another, Lord. Lord, help us to live out that commission until you come again. Empower us. And Lord, we pray for the growth of this church, Lord, as well. In your time, Lord, bring others in. Bring others in to know you, others that may know you, Lord. But whatever you choose, Lord, help us to be faithful to that calling until you either take us to be with you or you come for us again, Lord. Lord, just bless everyone here this week. Bless their families. May your covering be over them. May the love of Yeshua and the peace of the Holy Spirit go with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.